We return for today's Lenten instruction to the Sermon on the Mount, in the section of the sermon where Jesus takes the commandments of the old law and raises them to a higher key or to a greater intensity. In this case, the commandment, the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. But before he does that, before he speaks about the fifth commandment, he makes this surprising statement and really challenging statement: unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know if that strikes people so much nowadays, but the audience that first heard Jesus say this would have been stunned by this, because the scribes and the Pharisees were the best they had. So he's saying, unless your righteousness surpasses them, the holy ones, the just ones, the righteous ones, well, you won't even make it. You can imagine Peter blurting out and saying, well, then who can be saved? Who can be saved if they can't be saved? His point being, our righteousness is not based on ourselves, on our perfect fulfillment of the law, which was the attitude that had crept into the scribes and Pharisees, but our righteousness depends on something that we receive and then cooperate with: grace or mercy. So that applies to everything that we do in the Christian life. But here, let's focus for a moment on anger, because Jesus says it's not enough simply to avoid murdering each other. The roots of this kind of violence against a brother is anger. He says, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Now, as I was reflecting on this anger, I thought of the teaching that we had less than 2 months ago in our series on the vices and the virtues. We're in this series of Pope Francis on the vices and the virtues, and we covered the vice of wrath back in January. So I went back to my notes about that, and if you were at that talk, you might remember some of these comments of the Pope, and comments that I also added to the Pope's talk. For one thing, the experience of anger is one of the most obvious of the vices. Sometimes people are not that fully aware of their own pride. We haven't covered pride yet, that's the next one. But they're not that necessarily aware of their own envy, because it can creep in without our being aware of it. Maybe same with gluttony or with avarice. Yeah, it's a little bit disturbing. But anger has this emotional root which affects the body itself. This is what the Pope said: when a person is dominated by wrath, he finds it difficult to hide this impulse. You can see it in the way their body moves, in the aggressiveness, the labored breathing, and their grim and frowning expression. Okay, so that's the emotion. And one of the things when we're reflecting on anger is we have to be able to identify, distinguish the emotion and the sin, the vice, and also the other thing that we use the same word for, that is righteous anger or holy indignation. So that's three uses of the word anger that is already confusing enough. And then I brought up a fourth one, which wasn't in the Pope's talk, that is the wrath of God. So we use the same word for four different things: the emotion itself, which is neutral, the vice, which is Jesus' point in today's gospel, the holy indignation or righteous indignation, which is a right use of that same emotion, and then, well, the wrath of God is not based on emotion, but it's a reflection, or it's our human interpretation of God's response to what is evil, which is supposed to be our response too. We're supposed to be as rejecting of evil as God is, and that's what we sometimes call wrath. So it's a complex thing, but let's focus here on this vice of anger, this this misuse or this uncontrolled experience of this of anger. This is what the Pope said about it, or this document we took from the Pope. Wrath is uncontrolled anger that may well begin with brooding over offenses received, but ends up being self-destructive and damaging to our relationships with others, leading ultimately to violence and even war. Now, Jesus said that he's speaking about anger leading to violence, but since we live in an era of war, this is perhaps what brought this back to mind, because the war in Ukraine, and the war or the violent upset in Syria nowadays, also the lingering tensions in Gaza and in the whole Middle East, these things are so disturbing. And we have to ask ourselves, where is this coming from? Where is it that people are so opposed to each other that they want to blow each other up and want to, you know, wipe each other out? What is this? And at the root of it is this uncontrolled anger. And anger is a reaction to some injustice or perceived injustice. So it starts with this emotion, but then when it's not channeled properly, it becomes self-destructive, destructive of relationships, and leads to violence and even to war. Well, this is what Jesus says. If you're holding your brother in, if you're saying nasty language to your brother, this word raka doesn't strike us as being a very bad word, but that's because it's the Aramaic word, and we don't speak Aramaic. But we have lots of bad words that we use for people that we don't like or that we're angry with. Sometimes people whom we love, but who offend us, and we blurt out words. Then we realize, oh, there's my anger. Uncontrolled anger is dominating even my love. And then calling people a fool. And Jesus says, where there's something unreconciled in our relationships with one another, and there's this hostile emotion, we have to deal with this or we won't make it. We have to humbly admit this dynamic taking over us sometimes, and we have to repent of it and reconcile. Okay, let's turn another excerpt from the thoughts of the Pope here. Wrath is a vice that destroys human relationships. It expresses the inability to accept the diversity of others, especially when their life choices diverge from our own. It does not stop at a person's misconduct, but throws everything into the cauldron. It is the other person, the other as he or she is, the other as such who provokes anger and resentment. One begins to detest the tone of their voice, their trivial everyday gestures, their ways of reasoning and feeling. See what happens when anger starts to take over. It's not just the offense, but it's that offense and all the other offenses they did and the way they talk and the way they... In insignificant gestures irritate us. Then if we experience this happening, we realize, oh no, anger is taking over. Okay, well, maybe that's enough for here, because that's the when the vice takes over. Now that's when we allow the emotion to be at the service of destruction or as an enemy of love. Right use of anger is at the service of love. And that's why it's a completely different thing, even though it might feel like it has the same root. When we use that energy for what's good, as at the service of love, that's virtuous. And Jesus himself did this, remember, in the cleansing of the temple. And so what we are to do, we are supposed to fight against injustice. We're not supposed to just let injustice reign in the world, or especially in our own lives. Lent, in a season in which we work against ourselves, against our own self-indulgence, takes an energy. I think we probably don't use the word anger for this, but it takes a kind of anger to fast. A kind of anger, or here today is Friday and we're abstaining from meat. it takes a kind of anger to say, oh, and I won't eat the meat, even if everybody else is. I won't take that option if I'm out with friends. It's because it takes energy to oppose the natural inclination. Now, I say we don't usually call that anger, but I'm saying it's the right use of an emotion or any kind of self-discipline to say, I'm going to get up early and pray. I'm going to get up and get to Mass, or going to pray the stations, or do something for Lent. It doesn't come naturally to us. We need something to push us, and that's that zeal, which is sometimes called holy indignation. Okay, now in the liturgy, the Church puts this passage about the anger together with this beautiful passage from the prophet Ezekiel, in which we see God making this clear distinction between those who turn away from evil and do good, and those who turn away from good and do evil. And it might sound a little harsh to us. That's why the prophet says, well, you're going to say the Lord's way is not fair. It doesn't seem fair to you if somebody who's been good all his life and just turns bad at the end, and he's held liable. And what about a person who's been bad all his life and he turns from his evil ways on his deathbed, he's okay? It just doesn't seem fair to us. But what this is a reflection of God's approach to us and our decision either for or against him at any stage of the journey. Now, we've learned already in Lent, we're supposed to make that decision for repentance, for conversion, for following the gospel every day, every moment. That's what Lent is about, to remind us we're supposed to be like the Ninevites. Now, as soon as we hear the message that we're on the wrong path, we should change our ways and get back on the right path. And for people who have fallen, this first reading is very encouraging. If we turn away from all our sins, if we strive to do what is right, well, then we will live. All the crimes we have committed will not be remembered against us if we have turned to pursue virtue. That's a awareness of the great mercy of God. He's not holding our sins against us because he wants us to be saved. I love this line. Do I derive any pleasure from the death of the wicked, says the Lord God? Do I not rather rejoice when he turns from his evil way that he may live? God rejoices when sinners turn away from sin. So God is rejoicing during Lent for our sake. But the opposite is also true. When we abandon the right way, when we abandon God, when we abandon love, well then we are cutting ourselves off from this joy, from this life. And that's destructive. That's deadly. It's not unfair. It's God's love for us, his mercy for us, and also his respect for our own freedom. It doesn't force us. Well, okay, maybe that's enough for now, because we all have to deal with our vices, and that's why we all need Lent. We all have to recognize the emotional turmoil that can be stirred up at almost any time for almost any reason, and how we react to those movements, not to reject ourselves, but to distinguish what's not good and what's good. So many times, gosh, it happens so many times that people come to me with a disturbed. I'll tell you the example that came to my mind. Maybe this is. I hope this is relevant. This is years ago. A woman was taking care of her elderly father, and he had dementia. And I think he was bedridden or whatever, but he was touching her or trying to touch her inappropriately. And she was really offended, but she was saying, "Oh, but he's my father, and he has dementia, and he doesn't know what he's doing," and so she's trying to excuse him, which is good. But she was still angry, and I said, "Well, you're supposed to be angry. That's the right reaction when somebody does something unjust to you, even if it's not deliberate or it's not from the right you have a right to be angry about this violation of your own integrity. So don't, that's not a sin to confess, that's not a problem. The question is, what do you do with that? How do you correct this disorder in your elderly father? And how do you deal with the emotion that's stirred up there? So that's, I think it's related to this. We're supposed to be angry at things that go wrong, at wrongdoing of others, even if we do love them, and even if we do have excuses for them. Jesus made excuses for us on the cross. Oh, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. That's the divine way of saying it. But he still didn't like it. He didn't like suffering. He didn't like the injustice. But he took it on and overcame it with love. So that's part of Lent as well. Let us continue to not reject ourselves, but to discipline ourselves. Not to reject the human passions, but to put them in order and use the energy that's involved with the passions to pursue holiness with the help, with the grace of God.